Welcome to MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue, and we're coming to you from the campus of Middle Tennessee State University in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Some overweight people insist they do not have a health problem. They say they are in good shape, regardless of how society views them for having a few extra pounds on their frames. Can you be fat and still be fit? That's a question Dr. Vaughn Berry, an assistant professor of exercise science at MTSU, looked into in collaboration with colleagues from the University of South Carolina and Saginaw Valley State University. Is your risk of early mortality higher if you're overweight? Or can you improve your fitness level significantly with more activity, even if it's not enough activity to give you six-pack abs? It's a great subject to tackle during this holiday season when we're all apt to put a few more pounds around the middle. And we'll dig in after these words from MTSUnews.com.
Here are some of the stories now on MTSUnews.com, the university's news and information website. The MTSU Blue Raiders will face the Midshipmen of Navy December 30th in the Bell Helicopter Armed Forces Bowl in Fort Worth, Texas. It'll be the first contest between the two programs. Though consumers' perceptions of the economy improved during 2013, the latest Middle Tennessee Consumer Outlook Index shows the overall index falling sharply to 122 this month from 199 in September. The results from MTSU's Office of Consumer Research mirror a national downward trend of consumer confidence. And MTSU's 2014 True Blue Spring Preview Day for prospective high school and transfer students will be held Saturday, March 22nd on campus. All university colleges and disciplines will be participating, though MTSU is putting special emphasis on science areas that day. For MTSU News at any time, go to MTSUnews.com.
Vaughn, thank you for being our guest today.
Not a problem. It's my pleasure to be here.
What made you decide to tackle this particular subject?
I've always been interested in health outcomes of fitness and health outcomes from being physically active. And so I've been going in and looking at several health outcomes. And after talking with my professor, with the professor in South Carolina, we decided to focus in on all-cause mortality and look at the difference between fitness and fatness and to see which one had a greater effect on mortality. So and being excited about these health outcomes, I think they're vitally important considering what our political sphere is doing with our health care and what's going on. If we can find ways to overcome these negative health consequences from being overweight or obese or whatever other inappropriate lifestyles we may have, if we can figure out a way to overcome some of these, then I think that's going to be a huge factor in helping our society move forward and become more healthy.
Now, your methodology was to actually take studies that have already been done and to study those studies. Is that not right?
That's exactly what we did.
Yeah.
there were 10 studies that we used. We did a meta-analysis where we looked at hundreds of studies, and we had a criteria that we wanted to adhere to in order for these studies to be included into this analysis. One of those criteria is they had to use BMI as part of their criteria.
Body mass index.
Correct, body mass index. And they also needed to, for the fitness component, they also needed to do a maximal treadmill test so they knew exactly how fit these individuals were.
So if these studies did not already have those factors incorporated into them, they were not a part of your study.
Correct.
Right.
So there are other studies out there that that are good studies but just didn't meet the criteria for my analysis.
Mm-hmm.
So we used these studies. The last part, the last main part they needed to do to be included into this analysis was to look at the fit individuals who were normal weight and the unfit individuals who were normal weight and compare those to mortality and do the same thing for the overweight fit and unfit individuals and the obese fit and unfit individuals. That way we were able to compare all of these groups to the normal weight fit individuals. And that was the comparison group for this study.
That was your control group, so to speak?
So to speak, yeah.
Okay. And what did you find?
Our main outcome from this study There were two main outcomes, you might say, that we had. The main one was that regardless of body weight, fit individuals did not have an increased risk of mortality. So it didn't matter about what your body weight was. If you were fit, your mortality risk was similar to the normal weight fit individuals. The other outcome that we have, or result that we had from the study, was that unfit individuals, when compared to the normal weight and fit group, all had double risk of mortality. Didn't matter what their body weight was. So the deciding factor was not body weight for all-cause mortality, but the deciding factor was how fit these individuals were.
And that has a lot to do with diet and genetics and factors other than the actual amount of poundage on your skeleton frame, right?
Oh, for sure. For body comp or the BMI value that we used, yes, that's exactly right. Your fitness level can change your BMI value. Your genetics can. Definitely lifestyle factors, things you choose to do and not to do, will definitely affect that for sure.
Now, it is a truism, and it is a scientific fact, that a sedentary lifestyle is not very good for you, regardless of whether you are thin or whether you are obese. You've got to get up and move around. You've got to get the cardiovascular system going. You've got to use your respiratory system and breathe deeply. Is it just that we have accepted as a truism all these years that thin people are healthier than fat people? Or was there some kind of science that brought us to that conclusion that was not really solid?
There's a lot of research out there that's showing that there are adverse effects of being or adverse health outcomes that are associated with your body weight. But most of those studies do have a slight flaw in them in that they didn't account for fitness level. And so it does call into question some of those, what we thought were true, which I still believe they are. Mm-hmm. But how the question is right now for science is, what is the relationship between obesity or overweight and these health outcomes when we do take into account fitness level? And for all cause mortality, it almost wipes it out. There's no risk, increased risk with increased body weight. But with some of the other health outcomes, we don't know that quite yet. We still need to do some more research and maybe more meta-analyses such as this to really dig down and say, yes, it's totally wiped out, your risk is. Or for type 2 diabetes, there is a study out there that shows that, yeah, those that are fit have less risk, but it doesn't wipe it out altogether. And so there's still that link between obesity and type 2 diabetes. Even for those that are fit, they may need to shed a couple of pounds to reduce that risk. Mm-hmm. So as science, we do need to go into all these different health outcomes that are plaguing our society and see how much does fitness level really affect those.
We'll be right back in just a moment. This is MTSU on the Record.
The mission of the June Anderson Center for Women and Non-Traditional Students is to provide education, advocacy, direct services, outreach, and programming for the MTSU campus and surrounding community on gender-related issues. The center also assists older students who are trying to balance work, college, and family. It also sponsors a monthly legal clinic, career brown bag series, book club, and a newsletter twice a year. For all of the latest MTSU news and information, go to mtsunews.com.
We're talking with Dr. Vaughn Berry from the Department of Health and Human Performance. He's an assistant professor in exercise science here at MTSU, and we're talking about a study that he and several of his peers conducted regarding the risk of mortality, early mortality, if you are not fit, and whether weight has anything to do with that or not. Some people who are fit, go to the gym, work out every day, consider themselves fit, would say, how can you possibly be overweight and fit at the same time? How would you answer their question?
That's a great question. I think that's the crux of this. In this study, there were thousands of people that matched that description that were a part of this study. And in 2008, there came a study from the federal government, actually. They got all the leading scientists in this field and had them put together what was called the Federal Physical Activity Guidelines. And you can find those at physicalactivity.gov, I believe. And these physical activity guidelines lay out guidelines, the recommendations of physical activity for many populations, ranging from age to fitness level to trying to combat a specific outcome. But their recommendation is 150 minutes spread throughout the week. And if someone is meeting that recommendation, and they can do that with just brisk walking, which is great. I mean, most of us can briskly walk throughout the day. Mm-hmm. And they recommended 150 minutes spread throughout the week, which can be as little as 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week. Or you can even break it down into increments of 10 minutes a day, or excuse me, 10-minute bouts. And so you may have three 10-minute bouts that day, and one in the morning when you're walking to work. Maybe you stretch that to a 10-minute walk. And mm-hmm. then after work, well, you got to do the same thing back to your car.
Yeah.
That's going to be another 20 minutes or 20 minutes total for the day, and maybe you went for a walk at lunch. Mm-hmm. And with just walking 30 minutes a day, that's enough to get you to this fitness threshold that was discussed in this article.
And that's interesting because another graduate student who did a different type of fitness study here at MTSU found that you don't really have to engage in all that much physical activity in order to avoid the kind of sedentary lifestyle that gets you into trouble physically. For example, if you are a homemaker and you want to break up your housework into three sections or so, using the dishwasher is a bad idea by comparison to washing your dishes in the sink because that's more activity and it burns up more calories. And walking to the mailbox instead of having somebody go and get your mail for you. All of these little things that don't seem like any great exercise, like jumping jacks or getting on the treadmill or the Stairmaster, but cumulatively, they make a difference, right?
Oh, hands down. As a society, we've managed to engineer our physical activity out of our lives. And that's been, in my opinion, a great health detriment to all of us. We do less and less each day. I mean, the average person can get up and shower, get in their car, sit on their 40-minute drive to work, sit at work for 4 hours, sit at a restaurant, eat lunch, sit back at their desk again for the 4 hours, drive back home in their car, sit and eat dinner, and then watch TV the rest of the night. I mean, that's an example of what could happen and what may happen out there. And we've engineered that into our lives. And it's just those effects are I think we're seeing that right now in our overall healthcare system, where we are burdening it and we're having higher and higher rates of some of these chronic conditions. We may call this a low fitness epidemic. We've all heard of the obesity epidemic, but this could be our low fitness epidemic, where we as a society need to engineer physical activity back into our lives. We need to be more physically active. And in my opinion, once we've overcome this low fitness epidemic, that's going to drastically improve our nation's health. And then hopefully, over time, if we do it long enough, we may be able to affect that obesity epidemic that we've all been talking about for centuries or for decades now.
But first we have to get past the stereotype that it doesn't matter. A fat person will say, walking from here to the mailbox, who cares? It's not going to help me look like George Clooney, you know.
And
they're
more
concerned with personal appearance and weight than they are with health and weight or fitness and weight.
And I think it's important that we differentiate between getting our 10 minutes of activity and walking to the mailbox and back, which is important, and I think we do need to incorporate small bouts of activity into our lives. But getting at least 10-minute bouts, the research has shown that that's what's really going to help us improve. At least that's our minimum threshold, at least, is those 10-minute bouts.
What do you do to stay fit, personally?
One thing I do is, ironically, what I talked about before. I typically park over on the other side of campus every morning, and then I walk in, make sure it's usually about 15 minutes, Sometimes it's 20 minutes on the way in, and then I do the same thing on the way back to my car. So I know that I've got my 30 minutes in. And then throughout the day, I have a standing desk in my office, and I make sure I don't sit. I try to limit my level of sedentary activity, which in my opinion is termed as sitting. Mm-hmm. And I try to limit that as much as possible by standing. And I actually have a stationary bike in my office that I'll push up to my desk. And when I get really tired, I'll sit on that and spin for 10, 20, 30 minutes. And if I get too sweaty, I'll change back out into my, if I know I'm going to get sweaty, I'll change into my exercise clothes on that bike or, so that's typically what I do. I'm just now getting back into swimming as well. Mm-hmm. But I do try to keep the brisk walking is kind of my base right now, and I enjoy it.
We'll be right back. This is MTSU on the Record.
The Tennessee Employment Relations Research Association, or TERRA, gives labor relations specialists and academics a chance to share their views and their data. TERRA wants academics and other interested in human resources and industrial relations to work together at meetings and conferences to strengthen the workplace. Many MTSU faculty belong to TERRA, which has members in 20 states and 7 nations. For all the latest MTSU news and information, go to mtsunews.com.
Dr. Vaughn Berry is our guest today, an assistant professor of exercise science here at MTSU, and the study he has done that shows that weight and fitness don't necessarily have anything to do with one another, depending upon the individual and his or her own particular level of fitness. So it's possible for a person who's overweight, if, say, they work on a college campus, such as myself, if they walk from office to office to visit with professors, and we have a fairly good-sized campus here, it's rather level, not very many hills, mm-hmm. very flat, which is good for our disabled students who right. are in wheelchairs or have other infirmities. And if I choose to go walking to the professor's offices or to a particular guest lecturer or something like that, and it's all the way from the west side of campus to the east side of campus, instead of using email or texting, then I'm doing myself a good service, even though I am portly, right?
Oh, hands down. Currently, there's a lot of research out there on sedentary activity and the consequences of being sedentary. Mm-hmm. And those benefits, those consequences are independent of our physical activity level. So if we are exercising in the morning and getting 45 minutes of swimming or whatever your chosen mode of exercise is, if we are sedentary the rest of the day, there are health consequences associated with that. So if we can break up our day with visiting that colleague on the other side of campus, or standing up to use the restroom and get a drink of water and take an extra lap around the building and not be sedentary, limit sedentary activities as much as possible, because it's independent of our physical activity level, well, there's going to be great benefits just from getting up and doing that, visiting that colleague or taking that extra walk.
So while most of us are yearning for that one all-important parking space that is right next to our building where yeah. our office is, you are intentionally, with your lifestyle, parking away from your office so that you make sure you get your exercise in for your activity for that day.
Exactly, yep. And there's that distinction between my exercise and activity, and this is definitely part of my activity. Mm-hmm. Getting that 20 minutes in the morning or 10 minutes in the morning and making it so I have to do it at night. There's no getting around it, even though I'm tired. Want to get to my car, I still have to make that 10 minute walk back to my car, and it really does make me feel better. When I started it, I was a little skeptical. Mm-hmm. Reading in the literature, all I have to do is brisk walk. Mm-hmm. I started to briskly walk and
it's endorphins going
in
your head.
It does make a significant difference. Granted, there are other health benefits associated with getting your exercise in with higher intensity exercise, and And yes, I do recommend getting higher intensity exercise besides walking. Some of those health benefits include reducing your risk of osteoporosis if you're doing a jogging, and higher fitness levels. Mm-hmm. And higher fitness levels equals less chronic disease, chances of a risk of having a chronic disease in your life. So yes, I do recommend getting, if you're fit enough to get to that high intensity exercise and pound it out in the gym, hey, that's great. You're getting more benefit than just walking across campus. But if you're doing nothing right now, get out and walk.
Yeah. But it's also reassuring, isn't it, to a person who's overweight to know that even the small scale work that they do, even if they're not involved in any high-intensity exercises, say they can't afford the gym or a Y or something like that, or maybe they just don't want to exercise in front of other people because there are people who go to the gym to, you know, pick up people of the opposite sex and show off, and then there are people who go there because they're really serious about fitness, and those two people don't, you know, don't always work in the same social setting. But it's reassuring to people, I think, that even small-scale activity can help, because you look at people on television who are housebound because they weigh 400, 500, 600 pounds, morbidly obese is what they're called. And I think it must be at least in part because somebody told them at some point in their lives when they were fat, but not as fat as they are, that you'll never get over it, there's nothing you can do, you'll always be fat. It, you know, it was just your destiny. You know, it's probably genetic, or they were so shy or so depressed about the whole situation that they just gave up, and then it became exponentially worse and worse and worse. People have to believe that something is available to them to help them maintain a level of fitness, even if they are overweight.
Agreed, and that's I think that's one of the benefits of this study. Mm-hmm. All I have to do is whether it's that brisk walk or whatever, a short bike ride that's low intensity, it's doable for most people. And even those that are tipping the scale fairly high, most of them can still get out and do something. And burning those calories is vital for their health.
Or if they're poor and can't afford expensive exercise equipment.
Oh, yeah. And I think it's great news for those type of people, those that have trouble maintaining weight loss, those who have trouble losing weight, and those who can't afford to get into those gym settings. Hey, all's not lost.
Yeah.
We can still have those health benefits. And we as a society need to help each other obtain those health benefits so that we can just be a healthier society at large. And I think that would be drastically effective for our economy in general if we could help each other, encourage each other to be more physically active and just get this small amount, this minimum amount that's needed for health.
The notion that you can be fat but fit is a relatively new one in the layperson's media, and it's a relatively new one in the scientific literature as well. It's not something that It's something that we've heard only in recent years, actually, because what we have heard in decades prior more or less ran counter to the notion that you could be fat and fit at the same time. Is this a concept that is going to have to gain further currency inside the entire healthcare community before it actually becomes part of the public consciousness that you can be fat and still have a good level of fitness at the same time?
I think so. And it may start with educating some of our physicians and MD, and I'm sure a lot of them may know this or may not, but that their client, maybe their focus with their client shouldn't be losing those 20 pounds or losing whatever weight when they come in. Instead, maybe their focus should be, hey, how much have you, what's been your physical activity like? Do you have an exercise regimen? Do you have a membership at this gym? How often do you go? And maybe instead of the weight numbers they focus on, maybe they focus on their physical activity numbers or their exercise numbers. And I think that would getting people to that may be where we need to start, because once the physicians start focusing on that, then people realize, oh, my doctor's recommending continues to talk on this, and they're not as concerned about my weight just as long as I continue getting the exercise I need. Mm-hmm. And that may be a place to start to get ourselves out of the low fitness epidemic that's plaguing us right now.
We'll take one more brief break, and we'll be right back. This is MTSU on the Record.
The Intercultural and Diversity Affairs Center helps to promote awareness and understanding of the wide variety of cultures represented at MTSU. The center provides information, referrals, and resources. Additionally, IDAC tries to make students from different cultures feel welcome and comfortable on campus so they can have every opportunity to fulfill their academic, social, and personal potential. For all the latest MTSU news and information, go to mtsunews.com.
In our final moments with Dr. Vaughn Berry, you realize that your research here that you have conducted with your colleagues flies in the face of a lot of multi-billion dollar industries that are based on saying just exactly the opposite. The diet pill industry, the diet food industry, the insurance industry. How do you think that we can get more people to pay attention to the science instead of the selling?
I think right now, as a whole, our society is focused on that perfect body. and that may be driving our society. I'm searching for what's true. Mm-hmm. And that's my goal, is what can we find out there that's true, and there's an other part of research that's how can we implement this?
Right.
How can we implement what's true? And I think that is going to be difficult. We have to show that, hey, what's more healthy for our society? And I think as we start to focus on our health outcomes instead of strictly my body size, mm-hmm. if we start focusing on those health outcomes, and I think as a society we can slowly start moving in that direction on, okay, how can we keep people more fit?
If you're eating Christmas dinner, go ahead and have the mashed potatoes and gravy. Just don't sit down and watch the football game afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. And it's interesting where we're going right now as a society, because in the mid-70s, so to speak, the focus was you've got to be fit or don't work out at all. Let me rephrase that. You've got to be on that treadmill for 45 minutes sweating like crazy, or else might as well not work out. And that was the mantra, is you've got to be all or nothing. And
that's why a lot of people get bored with exercise.
Yeah, and it's not an all or nothing situation. Since the 70s, we've slowly morphed over to what do we need to do for these health outcomes? And what do we need to do to increase our overall bodily health?
The article is titled Fitness versus Fatness on All-Cause Mortality, a Meta-Analysis, and it is published at www.sciencedirect.com if you want to read it. Dr. Vaughn Berry, thanks for being our guest today.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
MTSU On the Record, a news and information program about Middle Tennessee State University, is produced by the university's Marketing and Communications Office, which is solely responsible for its content. Read more about MTSU at our website, mtsunews.com. Podcasts of this program are available at mtsunews.com and on iTunes.